Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy. I'm pleased to bring to you Mishnah 6 and Mishnah 7, Vav and Zayin, of the first parak of Bava Metzia for OU's Mishnah Yomid program. In order to begin learning Mishnah Vav, Mishnah 6, a word first on Shtar Chov, or a contract or a document written to define and guarantee a debt produced by a loan. When a borrower borrows money from a lender, a document is written. In Jewish law, a document is written, probably not just Jewish law, but in Jewish law, a document is written and given to the lender saying that the borrower owes him X amount of money. It may also say on it one of three things about guaranteeing said debt. One, the debt is guaranteed with the property of the borrower, meaning if the borrower cannot pay back in cash or cash equivalents, the funds may be extracted from the borrower's property. This is called sheyesh bo achrayot in our Mishnah, or nechasim sheyesh bo achrayot, property that has, let's say, responsibility or can be leaned against, L-I-E-N, as in a lien of a property. So, essentially, achrayot means that the lender has the authority to extract the owed funds not only from the properties, not only from the borrower's property, that is, from his real estate, if that's part of the stipulation of the contract, but even if the borrower had sold off his property, assuming it was sold after the date of the loan that is listed on the contract, that is listed on the loan document, the lender can still get the money from these sold properties, essentially costing the purchaser of the property money. This works, by the way, in American law as well, which is why when one purchases a house, one always does, or a property, one always does a title search to make sure there are no prior liens against the sold property, to make sure the person doesn't have any debts that lien the property, because it follows the purchaser. That is, even if a purchaser sells it to another person, sells it to another person, whoever has the property, he's left not only holding the property, but he's left holding the bag for paying off the original debt that he has, you know, no connection with whatsoever, except for the fact that he's holding the bag for it. Now, the second possibility is that the document explicitly says that the loan is not backed by a lien against the land, that it is not based on the chasim sheish bo achrayot, and therefore money can only be taken from loan money can only be taken from the borrower's loose cash or cash equivalents. And the third case is where the debt document, the Shtar Chov, doesn't specify whether it is backed by a lien on a property or not. Now, as soon as the borrower pays off the loan, one way to go through the process, it's not the only way we'll see, is that the lender gives him back the loan documents. Implicitly, it becomes a receipt that the loan is being paid off. And later we'll see a case of an explicit receipt being written as well. In any event, the Mishnah's case is as follows. Matzah Shtarei Chov, if somebody finds debt documents or a debt document, so there are two possibilities. One is that the lender dropped it, which means that the loan has not been repaid, which is why the lender still has it, to prove that he loaned the money. The second possibility is that the borrower, or actually ex-borrower, dropped it, meaning that the loan had been repaid, and the borrower got the document as proof of payment. So the Tana, Rabbi Meir, says the ruling depends on whether there is a lien stated in the debt document. Im yesh bam achrayot nechasim, lo yachzir shebeit din Ephraim mehen. Ein bahem achrayot nechasim, yachzir she'ein beit din Ephraim mehen, divrei Rabbi Meir. So if there is a lien on property stipulated in the document, then the document must not be returned. Since the court will extract the debt from the properties which may have been sold away. Now, the Gemara surprises us here by saying that this applies even where the borrower says he never paid back the loan and the lender dropped it. This is because the rabbi suspects some shady business. That is, the document says Shimon owes Levi money. So when the document is found, it may not be returned to Levi, the lender, because maybe it's paid off, and Amotzi Mechavero Lavaraya, if somebody wants to extract money, somebody has to give proof. But even if the borrower, which, if I remember correctly, was Levi, but I always forget who Shimon was Levi. So the borrower, even if the borrower says, oh, yeah, I never paid off the debt, and this document still belongs to the, it must have fallen from the lender, you still can't return it to the lender, because the shady business is as follows. That is, they're concerned, the rabbis were concerned that the debt was paid off, and the two of them got together, and then the ex-borrower sold property. The two of them get together, the lender and the ex-lender and the ex-borrower get together, and they say, listen, we're going to claim that you never paid off the debt. You will have no cash on you whatsoever. So we'll extract money out of the poor fellow, or the friar, as they would say in Israel, who purchased your property, and I guess we'll split the money half and half. So it's quite the scam. So since there is a lien on property which may have been sold on that document, the document may not be given back to the lender, even if the borrower says that the lender has not been paid back. Now, if there is no lien stipulated in the documents, then, according to Rabbi Meir, the courts will not extract the debt from the property's buyer. So therefore, there's no incentive for the borrower to lie. There's no way that he's going to say he's never paid off the debt, since they can't play a game of, oh, we'll rip off the person I sold property to. The different ruling of the Chachamim, which is coming next, which the Chachamim means an unnamed consensus or majority of a body of Tanaim, is as follows. The Chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim disagree and say, Bein kach vein kach lo yachzir, mevei shebeitin nifrei mehen. The Chachamim say, whether a lien is stated, whether it's written into the document or not, the loan document, the document must not be returned to the lender, even where the borrower says he didn't pay off the debt, since either way the courts will put a lien on the borrower's property, even if the property has been sold away. So, the Chachamim are not arguing with Rabbi Yehuda in principle regarding the concern that there may be a scam. What they disagree about is what happens when a document does not specify explicitly whether there is a lien or not. So, according to Rabbi Meir, if it's not explicitly stated, that means there is no lien, and therefore no shenanigans. But according to Chachamim, if it's not explicitly stated whether there's a lien or not, one assumes that there is a lien, and it was a mistake of the scribes who simply forgot to put in the lien. Of course, the Chachamim would agree that if it was explicitly stated that there is no lien against any property, they would agree with Rabbi Yehuda and say that the item can be returned in a case where the borrower says, oh yeah, the lender still has that document, I haven't paid it back yet, you can give it back to the lender. And as I stated previously, you're certainly not going to give it back to the lender if the borrower does not admit to, says he never paid it back, because Hamotzi Mechaveru Alav Araya, if we give it back to the lender, that will allow him to extract money, which may have, in fact, already been extracted and the debt already paid off. Now, in the next Mishnah, we're really dealing with other kinds of legal documents. In a sense, the next Mishnah is not directly connected with what has come before. What has come before is really a question of, if you find unowned items, to whom does it belong? Here, we're really, since we raised the issue of what do you do with documents when you find them, who do you return them to, so the Mishnah will continue in this vein, even though it's not directly connected to the question of finding abandoned or unownerless items. So, the next Mishnah brings up a series of legal documents that are found not exactly ownerless, but sort of thrown aside, as it were, or lost or dropped. And the question is what to do in all those cases. So, Matza Gitei Nashim Shechurei Avadim. Maybe I should do it like this. Matza 1, Gitei Nashim 2, Shechurei Avadim 3, Diaitiki 4, Matana 5, Shoverim Harizel Lo Yachzir Shani Omer Ketuvim Hayu V'Nimlach Aleihem Shelo Litnam. So if one finds one of the following: A divorce document, B an emancipation document for a Gentile servant or essentially a slave, three, a quickly drawn up last will and testament which was written, a daitiki is the person who is dying utters some last words of to give over some property, and those verbal commands carry a written authority, and one could quickly write them down and they have the same weight as if the person had written it himself. The word daitiki, the etymology is not clear. There are various assessments of what it might mean. Fourth item would be a gifting document. The document says, I'm hereby giving you a gift of, I don't know, my car. Another one is an explicit receipt that a lender gives to a borrower saying he received funds and the load is paid off. Now, if you remember, in the previous Mishnah, we talked about how implicitly, if the loan document if the loan was paid off, the loan document is given to the borrower or the ex-borrower to prove that he paid it off. The other way to do it is to give this chover, which is a receipt to prove that the loan has been paid off. In all of these cases, the document should not be returned. That is, it should not be returned to the person who is listed on the receiving side, the beneficiary side of the document. That is, the wife, the servant to the slave. That is, the wife does not get a divorce, the servant and slave does not go free, the parties on the will do not receive what was willed to them, the giftee does not receive the gift, the ex-borrower does not, we do not consider the loan paid off. And the reason is because the Mishnah says, Sha'ani Omer, the Mishnah essentially is presenting itself as saying, the writer may have written these, but then reconsidered and decided not to give them. That is, Sha'ani Omer, Ketuvim Hayu V'Nimlach Aleihem Shelo Litnam. So let's say in a case of a lender, or a case of a husband, they decide to write up a get document, but then they decide not to give it. So just because you find it on the ground does not mean that it was actually given, and therefore you cannot give it to the recipient. And again, I think the principle is hamotzi mechavero alavarai, unless you have witnesses testifying that the document was given, or that the receiver of the document actually has it in hands, just because you find it on the ground does not mean it was actually given. Now, the Gemara asserts that if the author of these documents was heard saying, oh, give this document, then it is given to the recipient if it is found. That is, it's enough that somebody heard him give that command, because this way we're not just thinking, oh, he just wrote it and then changed his mind. No, when he actually commanded somebody to give it, then that's as good as given if we find it kind of strewn about and unowned. All of these, by the way, all these cases are explicitly stated in the Tosefta, which is another collection of Tanaic writings. However, one of these cases may not apply. That is, the divorce document may not apply, even if had you heard that the husband say, give this document, and then you found the get strewn about, or unowned, or unpossessed, because it could be that that he did give that command, but that get was lost, and the get that you found was a get with the name of an identical woman, an identical named man, and you don't want to give that get because it's not actually written by him for her, and therefore the get would look like it's valid when in fact it is invalid.